Let's just open in prayer. Father, we just come before you on this Sunday morning in the name of Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Lord over Guatemala, El Salvador, United States, Lord of all the world. And we thank you, Father, for the relationship that we can have with you, Lord. And we simply ask, Lord, that you speak to us through your word, Father, that I hide behind the cross, Father, and that your word goes forth and you minister and speak into people's lives, Father. And I pray, Lord, that you give Pastor Tim and Michelle a rest as they're in Rhode Island, Lord. Let them, Lord, just find their rest in you and you alone and recharge them for the rest of the year, Father. And we thank you for what you're going to do now and what you're going to say and how you're going to work by the power and authority of Jesus Christ. Amen. I was in the country of Mexico on a vacation one time, and we were in Ixtapa. And while in Ixtapa, we were on the 11th floor, and it was the middle of the afternoon. And the sun had beat down on me. Ixtapa's quite a hot country, and the sun had beat down on me. And so I'm laying in bed in Ixtapa and just trying to rest, dozing on and off, and Andrew's half talking, and you know how it is. You're married, you're a guy, you're yeah. You know, so I'm just half dozing off, half. And then I said, you know, Andrew, don't, I told you before, I don't like the bed being shaken to wake me up. She goes, I'm not shaking your bed. And I jumped up immediately and I said, earthquake, earthquake. And we threw on sandals and we ran out. And again, we're 11 stories high. And, you know, you're in the middle of a panic. I don't know if, you know, you've ever been in a situation where there's a major panic. And we go into the elevator. Okay, the elevator was one of those glass elevators in the lobby. It's the last place you want to go to in an earthquake. And the elevator's going down and shaking back and forth. And as we're going down, I said, I don't think this was the smartest idea to get in this elevator. And it's shaking down. And all I'm thinking of is, like, you're going to read in the Mexican news, two Italians found dead in the elevator, you know, instead of taking the stairs. And so we get to the bottom. Just as we get to the bottom, I'm ready to run through the lobby and yell, earthquake, get out. But everybody else was smart enough to have run out already. And so we get out, and what I learned was you make mistakes when you're in the middle of something that's out of your control. You have distracted thinking. You have panic thinking. You make a lot of mistakes. And one thing about an earthquake, you have no control. You know, you don't control the earthquake. The earthquake controls you. And so, like, I never forgot. Earthquake, no control. Earthquake. So I'm sitting there and I meditated upon it. And Psalm 46, if you open with me to Psalm 46, has to do with who's in control of everything. This psalm was written by the sons of Korah. They were part of the Levite group. And it was basically a song. And this psalm was written during a time when King Hezekiah of Judah was surrounded by the king of Assyria's army. And they were ready to attack. And what happened was Hezekiah prayed and God spoke. And in one night, 185,000 people were killed. And so this psalm starts off with, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. Though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging, there's a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he had brought on the earth. He makes wars to cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. This is the verse. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted on the earth. In the earth, the Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. And Psalm 46 was written at a time when there was extreme adversity, and God provided deliverance. This was one of Martin Luther's favorite psalms. Martin Luther used to fall into depression, and he would turn around and he would go through this psalm. In fact, he wrote a song, A Mighty Fortress is Our God, based on Psalm 46. It's saying, God, Not man, not myself, not the president. God, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the one who flung the planets and the stars into space. God, the one who said all things are possible with God. And Jeremiah says, is anything too hard for God? Says, God is our refuge and our strength. And the word refuge here is a fortress. It's a shelter. It's a place where we can trust God. He is our refuge. And so when we're in the midst of whatever we're feeling or whatever we're going through, we go to our refuge. You know, a lot of times you run to other people, we run to other situations. God is saying, He's our refuge and our strength. I remember the former president, make sure I get the word former president of the United States, once read a proclamation, and he said, from hurricanes, he says, we have to be prepared in case of, he's talking about America, in case of hurricanes, wildfires, cyber and terrorist attack, which can strike at any time. And I had to pause a moment saying, I don't think I ever heard a president say that ever. But then right after he said that, the former vice president said, the world is literally fraying at the seams. And that's true. That's true. They both hit it. See, I'm an avid reader of the news. I read all the news. I read the liberal news. I read the conservative news. I read the alternative news. I read all the news. And based on what I'm reading from a biblical and global as reading all the news perspective, okay, I believe what Timothy is saying is we're in perilous times. This is tough times that we're in. And that's 2 Timothy 3, 1-7. And Matthew 24 points out we're in the end times. See, people even from a non-spiritual, even unbelievers, can see we're in trouble. Something is wrong here. One financial advisor from a very conservative site recommended that we consider living like Robinson Crusoe, going to a farm, getting off the grid, growing our own vegetables. And the more you read, and again, I read probably too many things, the more you read, this world's in trouble. This country's in trouble. Let me just give you some samples of this week, not over time period. This week alone, okay? This week alone, Iranian-backed sleeper cell militants are hibernating in the U.S., positioned for attack. You say, that's crazy. That's no, because when the World Trade Center was attacked, the sleeper cells were in Paterson, New Jersey. Russia sent up a satellite which might be a weapon, alarming the U.S. officials. They say it's not acting like a normal satellite. It's tracking other satellites, and they feel that it might be a weapon. Again, this is this week alone. This is, by the way, normal news. It's not like some wild, crazy sight, okay? China is expanding the bomber operations, likely training for U.S. strikes. As long as I can get a couple more Kung Po chickens, I don't care. So, you can see that we're in trouble. This whole country of America is totally unstable. We're divided against one another. What did Jesus say? He said, a house divided against itself cannot stand. So, we're in a crazy time period. A couple of years ago, I went to Rome, the motherland. And I go to Rome, and I love this so much. I love the history, you know, behind Rome. I seen where the Apostle Paul was jailed, and it gave me, like, goosebumps. And I loved everything about it that I went home and I started studying why did Rome collapse. And I don't want to go over the reasons why Rome collapsed. You can look it up, but everything they did wrong, we're doing in America. Rome was once the greatest civilization on the planet. We are now considered the greatest civilization on the planet. Everything Rome did wrong to collapse. We didn't learn from history. But the scriptures tell us that God, again, not our government, not the world, God is our refuge and strength. Warren Wiersbe says that when you're in trouble, he's an ever-present help in trouble. He's basically saying you're in a tight place. You're in trouble. It's like you're like Moses in the Red Sea, you're between a rock and a hard place, and unless God comes, you're not going to get delivered. But we have to realize that no matter what happens, God's in control. See, the very next verse says, therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. The psalmist describes natural catastrophes. I remember in 2009, I went to go to El Salvador, and they had a landslide. And I sat there looking at it, and it was surreal, because the rocks, and they call it a landslide, but there was 109 boulders, traveled 3.5 miles after coming down the hill. And it killed over 200 people. It destroyed 209 buildings and damaged 1,835 buildings. But you're sitting there looking at boulders 25, 30 feet high, and you're looking at the mountain 3.5 miles away. And it was just totally surreal. Like, did this really happen? And the people were devastated. I mean, they lost family. They lost everything they had. And they were living in tents. And we were ministering to them. But I just kept on looking at the mountain, back down, back the mountain, and all the ruins, a wide, wide path that destructed everything in sight. And I'm thinking, we don't have this in America, but this lines up with, like, the mountains falling down. And the same could be said of 9/11, the first time when a friend called up and said, what's going on the TV? It looks like the World Trade Center is on fire. I started watching TV. And it was like a nightmare. I literally kept on pinching myself saying, is this really happening? Is this really happening? See, I had several friends that died in the World Trade Center. One was a very anointed worship leader from a Korean church in Wayne. And it hurt me. And I'm sitting there saying, Lord, what's going on? And despite what the prosperity teachers will teach you, oh, just think positive thoughts and good things will happen to you. I'm sure they thought about that on the World Trade Center. I'll think a positive thought and something will happen good to me. Okay? We're told by Jesus we're going to have trials. We're going to have problems. In fact, the scriptures say, in this world you have tribulation. In John 16:33, in 2 Timothy 3:12, it says, indeed, all who desire to live godly will be persecuted. These are not verses that I want to hang up on my wall. I'm not going to put a verse every day, all who desire to live godly will be persecuted. That's not verses like I really want to hear. I don't want to hear about the trials. I don't want to hear about the problems. I mean, we're going to have them. And yet, in Jesus Christ, my friends are in heaven. I'm stuck here on earth paying New Jersey taxes. They're in heaven. So they have a refuge, but their refuge is Jesus Christ. When you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, He's your refuge. See, the lesson I had to learn in Ixtapa, and I literally have to learn it when I say this, I'm not exaggerating, almost every day, I'm not in control. You're not in control. God's in control. Just coming here the way somebody was driving in front of me, I had to say, I'm not in control. God's in control. The driver in front of me is in control. I wanted to push him, but the driver in front of me is in control. We're not in control. We're not in control of our lives. We're not in control of the natural disasters. We're not in control of the global disasters. God is in control. So the question comes when trouble strikes, do you want to face it with God as your refuge? Or do you want to try to find help elsewhere? That's a pretty heavy question at times. Jesus told us there'll be troubles, but then he promised, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you'll have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. See, God is in control no matter what the situation. If you remember a few years ago, they were killing the Christians in Orissa, India. The Hindus were killing them. They were murdering the men. They were raping the children. They were raping the women and then killing them. And then I was reading upon it. I was praying over it and reading upon it. because I go to India a lot. And as I read it, they said, the Christians in Orissa said, God's in control. Now, my American mindset struggles with that. I mean, if somebody was coming through his church killing the men and raping the women and children, it would be hard for me to say God is in control. But they know they have a relationship with God that they recognize and they realize He is in control. It's not us, it's Him. And they also know the scripture where it tells us that the sufferings, I want to make sure I got the scripture right, where it tells us that our present sufferings are not worthy, not even worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed in us. In other words, when you're going through a trial, you're going through a problem, this is a temporary time down here. Listen, whatever problem you got, whatever trial you have, 100 years from now, it's not going to matter. This is a temporary time compared to eternity. You want to do and try to make decisions that a trillion years from now, hey, wasn't that a great decision I made a trillion years from now? This is a temporary time. But when I'm weak, He becomes strong. The next passage said, God is with us, a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at the break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts up the voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Jerusalem at that time was built on a river. And when they were being attacked, the enemies figured, was not built on a river, I'm sorry. When the enemies attacked, they figured we're going to cut off their water supply. But they had an underground water supply that Hezekiah had built, and they didn't know about it, the enemies. Those of us who have a relationship with Jesus Christ, we have the Holy Spirit. The scriptures tell us that He is our water supply. The scriptures say to us that He's the one who comes in. I keep on wanting to pick up the microphone. He's the one that comes into us. It's the Holy Spirit. You see, when you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, it's not a head knowledge. It's not a religion. You're not coming here on religion. It's a relationship with the living God. And when you come to Jesus Christ, He gives you His Holy Spirit. You're born again. The word born again from the original language means born from the Spirit of above. God puts the Holy Spirit into you. He makes you a new person. So God gives us the Holy Spirit. When you're in trouble, you cry out to God. And the Holy Spirit is in control. The Holy Spirit is there. The next passage, I'm going to jump a little bit, says, be still and know that I am God. This is one of my life verses. I have two life verses. But God is saying to us, in every situation, be still. Let it go. I'm in control. And again, I tell you this, I go through this every day. I'm in the midst of a situation with a little child. And it's killing me. It's like I'd rather have a knife in my heart. And God is saying to me, Joe, I'm in control. You're not. Be still. And I'm sure there's different times and different events that we all went through where you thought you messed up on something. And you're saying, Lord, why didn't I have this? Or why didn't this happen? And years later, God showed me why. Years later. And I said, thank you, Lord, you worked that out. But I didn't understand at the time. And even if you mess up, and we all mess up, James 1 says, we all stumble, we all fall, we all fail. God is saying, be still, cease striving. I'm in control. You're not in control. I am. Let it go. I'm in control. I'm sure that there's times that God has to put us through something to show that He's in control. I'm sure that Jonah at the bottom of a whale, you know, was sitting there saying, I'm in trouble. I'm not in control. no signal down in this whale. I mean, I'm sure Jonah was struggling. I'm sure that Samson realized after breaking all of his Nazarite vows and having his eyes plucked out that he wasn't in control. And if you study the Old Testament prophets, basically all of them failed. All of them tried to take control. Moses never went into the promised land because he hit a rock. The guy who wrote 5 books of the Bible, God didn't let him in the promised land because he tried to show he was in control. And yet all of them came before Jesus Christ and said, I messed up. David, Lord, I messed up. Create me a clean heart. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. And God used them all once again. Jonah coming out and preaching. Samson killing more people in one day, the Philistines in one day, than he killed his entire life. David coming back and having God say, he's a man after my own heart. But he had to realize, he had to be still. And all of us need to do the same thing. We got to come to God and say, Lord, I messed up. Or, Lord, I'm sorry for thinking I'm in control. I'm not in control of anything outside of my relationship with Jesus Christ. He's in control. The same thing is true of us. You could have problems with a situation like I have with a child. You could have problems, financial problems. You could have relationship problems with marriage. And you have to come to God and basically say, Lord, this is yours. This is yours. And just like I was in the earthquake and I made distracted decisions, and I still do, or I make panic decisions, God's still your refuge. He's your shelter. I can walk into the community of the gang because God's in control. He determines who takes my life. It's not going to be the 18 gang, or it's not going to be the Hindus in India when I go there next month. It's going to be God determining who's in control, because he's my strength as well. And so we got to determine, do we trust God that he's in control? Or, and I confess I do it a lot of times, you try to wrestle control from God. And it's when we give him full control, when we're still, when he says, be still, let it go, let God be God. Let me say that again. Let God be God. Then and only then is when he works, when we give him full control of our lives. Let's close in prayer. And so, Father, we come before you on this Sunday morning, Father. And as we come before you, Father, we ask, Lord, that we truly be still before you, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, Creator of the heavens and the earth, Father. Father, you are our refuge. You are our strength. You are our shelter, Father. And you provide us with the living waters of the Holy Spirit, Father. And so we simply ask, Father, that we yield ourselves completely to you and recognize that you and you alone are in control. And then and only then, Father, will we have the love, joy, and peace that only you can give. And we thank you for what you're going to do by the power and authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Messiah. Amen.